The fourth characteristic of the godly man that we have been looking at in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, the fourth characteristic of the godly man is perhaps more straightforward than the others which have preceded it. That is to say, straightforward with regard to understanding, but difficult in the extreme with regard to implementation. What I mean by that is it's not difficult to understand. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. There is nothing complex in understanding the words. We all know what hunger and thirst are. We know what righteousness is, or at least we have some concept of it. And so the phrase itself is very simple to understand, but it is extremely difficult to put into practice. Now you will remember that when we're talking about the Beatitudes, we are talking about the characteristics that men and women who profess to be Christians should exhibit in their everyday lives. Again, I stress, as I have before, that these are not things that we can do in order to gain the approval of God or in order to gain salvation. These are things that, once being saved, we are to demonstrate in our own daily lives. We are to be poor in spirit. We are to mourn for our sin. We are to be meek before God and before men. And we are to hunger and thirst for righteousness. The first thing that we look at this evening is the need for this spiritual desire. The need for spiritual desire. Why is this so important? Why should the Lord Jesus Christ have stressed this in the messages that he gave to his disciples? Well, John Blanchard, in his commentary on the Beatitudes, highlights two reasons why this hunger and thirst is necessary. Two very simple things. First of all, to hunger and thirst is a sign of life. It's pretty basic, isn't it? If we are dead, we don't hunger and thirst. It's when we have life that we become hungry. You only have to look at a newborn child and how eagerly the child looks forward to the milk that is provided for it. In our own experience, do we not find that after a morning's work, we become hungry because we feel the need of it? We have life, we have expended energy, and therefore we need to replenish. It is a sign of life. I read in 1 Peter, and that is illustrated in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And so there is a need for hungering, and the need for hungering and thirsting demonstrates that we have life. Now, if that is true in the physical realm, how much more is it true in the spiritual realm? And this is very serious. If we do not hunger and thirst for righteousness, is it an evidence that we have no life? That we have no spiritual life? It would be tragic, would it not, if a baby is born and never ever grows? Wouldn't it be tragic if it were possible to have a baby 20 years from its birth, still the same? No intellectual development, no physical development, nothing at all. That would be awful. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because if they do that, then it demonstrates, or it's one evidence, that they have spiritual life. If you do not long for God, if you do not long for God's word, if you do not love God's word, if you do not grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is it because there is no life in you? Because you have never been born again. So the need for spiritual desire is to demonstrate, or it is an evidence, that we have spiritual life. But secondly, in this need for spiritual desire, it is not only a sign of life, it is a sign of health. Now, we all know in our own experiences that when we are struck down with some kind of illness, we very often do not want to eat. Sometimes we have to be persuaded to eat or to drink because we are weak, we are ill, we don't feel the need for any food, and so we simply don't. Again, if that is true in the physical realm, it is equally true in the spiritual realm. If we do not desire God, is it because we are sick? Is it because we are spiritually ill? That we have not grown in grace? We have not grown in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Let me ask you a question. How much have you progressed since this time last year? Do you know more of God's word? Do you have a better appreciation of Christian doctrine? Do you have a better knowledge of what God requires of you in your life, in your daily walk? Do you have a greater understanding of yourself? Do you have a greater understanding of your own sin, your own weakness? Do you love Christ more now than you did this time last year? You see, these are important questions, because surely as Christians we are to grow. We are to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Many years ago, when I was a pastor in Belfast, in a congregation in Belfast, I announced that we were going to study the book of Romans. One of the members, who I considered to be a very godly man, didn't come to the midweek meeting for a couple of weeks. I went to see him to ask him why. And he said, "Oh, I've done Romans. I'm not often struck dumb. But I was." I've done, Romans. Grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. No matter how many times you study the book of Romans, you will learn something new each time. And not just the book of Romans, but every single part of God's word. I don't know about you, but I feel so ashamed often that I know so little of the word of God. That I understand so little of what God has graciously given us in his word. And that's why it is necessary for us to have this spiritual desire. Because it demonstrates that we have life. But it also demonstrates that we are healthy. It is a healthy man or woman that desires food and drink. And it is a healthy Christian who desires God, who desires to know God, who desires his word. The second thing is the nature of spiritual desire. Now this desire is expressed here in Matthew 5 as hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Hungering and thirsting, and the desired object is righteousness. We could spend a long time describing and analyzing what we mean by righteousness. But I will make it very simple. To be acceptable to God, to be like Christ, to reflect the holiness of God, and to act justly before men. Now there's a lot more that we could say about righteousness. But if we take that as being the basis, to be acceptable to God, to be like Christ, isn't that what we're supposed to be? We are Christians. We are followers of Christ. So we are to be like Christ. We are to reflect the holiness of God. Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. And to act justly, righteously before men. And so Jesus says to us, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, who hunger and thirst to be found acceptable to God, who hunger and thirst to be like Christ, who hunger and thirst to reflect the holiness of God, who hunger and thirst to act wisely and justly before men. We fall far short, do we not? Can we truly say that day by day we have this hunger and thirst for those things? I suggest to you that there are six things here concerning the nature of this spiritual desire. First of all, it is an eager and continual desire. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Not just one day a week. Not just one moment in a month. But the whole emphasis here is for an eager and continual desire. You go back to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. The child, if a child doesn't, or if a baby doesn't have its food, what does it do? Does a child simply lie back in its cot and say, ah, well, maybe it'll come tomorrow? Maybe I'll get some later. No. The child cries and yells until it gets its nourishment. And the same thing will happen 4 hours later. And 4 hours later. And the next day. And the next day. And the next day. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, continually, eagerly, desiring God. Secondly, this spiritual desire will be satisfied with nothing but nourishment. It cannot be palmed off with something else. It cannot be palmed off with some kind of position in society. It cannot be palmed off with entertainment. It cannot be palmed off with anything other than nourishment. And I have to say, I sometimes wonder at some of what passes for worship in some churches in our land. I wonder what possible nourishment a true child of God could receive when all there is music and dance and levity. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, and they will be satisfied with nothing but nourishment. When a child screams for milk, try giving the child water. Doesn't work, does it? Doesn't work. The child wants nourishment. And so the child of God will be satisfied with nothing but nourishment. Thirdly, this true spiritual desire will rejoice in the nourishment provided. It will rejoice in the nourishment provided. I find it very hard to understand how people who claim to be Christians find it so difficult to sit through even a short sermon. I've spoken to colleagues in other denominations, not that ours is perfect by any means, but I've spoken to colleagues in other denominations, and they said, you know, I can hardly get away with 15 minutes of a sermon. The people won't stand for it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Here is the pure word of God. Here is God pouring out his love towards us through his word. Here is God equipping us to live in this world. Here is God equipping us to be able to live for him. God has graciously given us his word. And we don't rejoice in his word. We don't rejoice in the nourishment that's provided for us. You see, the nature of this spiritual desire, it's an eager and continual desire. It will be satisfied with nothing but nourishment. And it will rejoice in the nourishment that's provided. And it will find great sweetness in the food. There's a verse in Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 7. This is what the word of God says. A satisfied soul loathes the honeycomb, but to a hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. You see, that's an important verse. Because there are bitter things in the Word of God. There are bitter things in the Scriptures. There are bitter things that come to us in the preaching of the word. Because when the word of God is faithfully proclaimed, very often it opens us up to the gaze of God. It reveals to us our own inner sin. It reveals to us where we have fallen short of the honor and glory of God, where we do not walk as we ought to walk. Sometimes the word of God shines a spotlight into the dark recesses of our own souls. But for the one who truly has spiritual desire, he will find even that sweet to the taste. Even that will be sweet. Because remember, we're talking about hungering and thirsting for righteousness, to be acceptable to God, to be like Christ, to reflect the holiness of God. So if the word of God shines into my heart, into my soul, and shows me where I am not like Christ, then surely I should rejoice and thank God for his goodness in exposing this to me. Fifthly, this spiritual desire is a desire for God himself, and not just a desire for heaven. It's a desire for God, and not just for heaven. What is it that we really long for? Do we long just for God's heaven? Or do we long for God? Oh, that I might know him! Is that the cry of our souls? Oh, that I might know him! Doesn't matter what he does with me. It doesn't matter how he treats me. Oh, that I might know him. Oh, that I might see God in all his glory, in all his majesty, in all his wonder, his love and his grace and his mercy. A desire for God. And then sixthly, it will be an unconditional desire. Turn to Psalm 130. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who watch for the morning, yea, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and so on. Anyone who's ever been in the forces, I was in the army for some 5 years. And during my time in the army, I had to do sentry duty. At times, during the night. And at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, oh, how you longed for dawn to come. How you longed for the light to appear. Knowing that that long night was coming to an end. Oh, we long for the morning. But the psalmist says, my soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Is that the kind of spiritual desire that you have? The need for spiritual desire, the nature of spiritual desire, and then thirdly, the reward for spiritual desire. There is, with this beatitude, the promise that all such hungering and thirsting will be satisfied. And the filling described is an overflowing abundance. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall receive an overflowing blessing. A blessing that cannot be contained. And the believer who truly hungers and thirsts for righteousness will know the abundance of God's grace, His unmerited favor, His smile, His blessing upon you. Do we not long to hear on that last day, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord"? If we long for that in the future, should we not be anxious to have that now? That God should be able to look upon us in favor and mercy and grace and pleasure. Isn't it a wonderful thing that this almighty, sovereign, holy God can look at people like us and find in us pleasure, delight? Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled with God's overflowing grace and God's peace. God's peace. The smile of God, no matter what the circumstances. When we go through difficult times, when we find the road hard and difficult, when sometimes the heaven seems brass and there doesn't seem to be any answer from God, and yet we know, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. They will be filled with God's peace. For they walk by faith and not by sight. And they know that God looks upon them with favor, with mercy, with grace. And they will know His peace even though they pass through turbulent waters. Though the waves threaten to break over them. Yet they know the peace of God that passes understanding. Not the peace that man gives, nor the peace that man or circumstances or lack of prosperity can take away. The peace of God that passes all understanding. And God's joy. My beloved brethren, says the scripture, count it all joy when you face all kinds of trials. Do we? Or are we more likely to say, "Why me? Why me? I don't deserve this. It's not fair." And yet, if our desire is not for comfort, is not for acknowledgement, is not for prosperity, but for God, then even in adverse circumstances, we will know the joy of the Lord as our strength. God has promised that those who seek Him will be filled. 1 John 1 and 9 tells us that we will have a fullness of forgiveness. Even though we seek God, even though we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we will fall. We will sin. We will fall short of what God requires of us. And yet, as we hunger and thirst after righteousness, there will be a fullness of forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But more than that, he will give to us a fullness of Christ. A fullness of Christ. Oh, that I might know him. Isn't that our cry? And God has told us that the more we desire him, the more we will have of him. The more we seek to live for Christ, the more we will know him. The more and more we will be conformed to his image. Knowing that one day we shall be like him. One day we shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And in 1 John chapter 3. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. A fullness of forgiveness, a fullness of Christ, and a fullness of hope. Hope that does not make ashamed. Hope. Now you know that hope is not just a vague wish. We hope the sun will shine tomorrow. It's not that kind of hope. It's the certainty of something that we don't yet have. And Christ has promised us, where I am, you shall be also. What a wonderful hope is set before us. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you for myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a glorious, glorious hope is set before us. Surely, with that before us, surely day by day, we as God's people, as Christ's brothers and sisters, surely we should hunger and thirst for righteousness, that we might be more and more like him. Now let's bring our worship to a close. We're going to sing, as we close our meeting this evening, from Psalm number 63. And may this be our prayer, individually. Psalm 63, verses 1 to 5. Lord, thee, my God, I'll early seek. My soul doth thirst for thee. My flesh longs in a dry, parched land wherein no waters be, that I thy power may behold and brightness of thy face, as I have seen thee heretofore within thy holy place. Since better is thy love than life, my lips thee praise shall give. I in thy name will lift my hands and bless thee, while I live, even as with marrow and with fat, my soul shall filled be. Then shall my mouth with joyful lips sing praises unto thee. Psalm 63, verses 1 to 5.
Lord, be my God, my mercy, my soul.
Face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.